Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, September 13th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. In this episode, we're going to be taking a bite out of Apple with our personal tech team. The company held its annual hardware refresher event yesterday at a time when it's facing a lot of challenges. iPhone revenue was down in the most recent quarter. In China, its third largest market, it's facing new competition, while government employees are being asked not to use iPhones for work, according to our reporting. And regulation out of Europe has forced the tech giant to make one of the biggest design changes to the iPhone in years. So, what's new and what's the iPhone maker up against? We've got the details. Starting with that big change to its design, new models of the iPhone 15 will now have a USB-C connector port. That means they can use the same wires as many consumer electronics, including rival Android phones. Apple has used its proprietary Lightning connector since the iPhone 5 and has been resistant to this change. But our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, says the European Union forced the company's hand.
The EU passed legislation that states that by the end of 2024, mobile phones, tablets, and other gadgets sold in the EU will have to be equipped with a USB Type-C port. The EU argued that it benefits consumers because they would just need one type of cord to charge all those gadgets. They also argued that it would be better for the environment. You wouldn't have to keep buying different types of chargers. I actually spoke to Alex Agus-Saliba, who led this legislation in the EU, about why he wanted to do this.
Within the European Union, only for smartphones, we are producing 11,000 tons of electronic waste every year for useless chargers. So you're buying a device bundled with a charger. One in three of these chargers is never even opened from its case. It's never ever used. So they end up in that famous drawer that each and every household in Europe, I'm sure in the US, you already have some of these drawers full of different chargers, which are only there waiting to be used in case of an emergency. And this is the final result. This is the result that we don't want to see. And that is why we try to kill the proprietary chargers.
It's a big and not so big change. On the one hand, Apple has already transitioned its iPads and Macs to USB-C, but it held out on the iPhone because over a billion people own iPhones, and it's a big, messy thing when you transition the port of an iPhone. You may remember when we had that 30-pin connector. That was the one that charged the first few iPhones and iPods. And when that went away, we got Lightning. And people were very upset when this happened in 2012. They had to throw away cords and speaker docks and all the things that used the 30-pin connector. But we got through it, and this will actually be an easier port transition since most people probably already have a USB-C cord in their homes.
That was our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Coming up, the plug wasn't the only thing Apple changed on its iPhones. We'll explain the updates, the costs, and what Apple left out of its event when we come back.
Tech News Briefing is supported by FTI Consulting. From the world's largest cyber breaches to global fraud investigations, FTI Consulting is the number one expert-based firm organizations turn to in their moments of truth. Learn more at FTIconsulting.com.
Apple unveiled the newest additions to its smartphone and Apple Watch lineups yesterday. As our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen put it, it was really an hour-long promotion for the company. But Apple is facing new restrictions, growing competition both in China and in the artificial intelligence space. And of course, its products are expensive. So what did it present to lure customers to its newest gadgets? TNB host Zoe Thomas spoke with Nicole. Here is their conversation.
So we've already heard about one of the biggest changes to the iPhones, this new USB-C connector. But Nicole, were there other updates or changes that stood out to you?
So the iPhone 15 and iPhone 15 Plus now includes what's called the Dynamic Island, which is this little animated bubble at the top of your iPhone screen, which is where the speaker is, that can do a bunch of stuff like show you your Uber's ETA or show you volume levels for the media that you're playing. It's a nice way to multitask on the iPhone. And previously it was reserved for the Pro models, and now it's available on the 15 and 15 Plus. Another new feature is reverse charging, which Apple's competitors, Samsung's Galaxy and Google's Pixel, have long had. But this iPhone version comes with a huge caveat, which is that you need a USB-C cable to reverse charge your AirPods or Apple Watch with your iPhone's battery, while its competitors can do it wirelessly. And for the Pro model, there is a new action button that replaces the silent switch. A lot of people don't really know what that silent switch even does, but now it's a whole new thing that's totally gone. The action button is customizable, so you can program it to do things like launch the camera or an accessibility feature. And for the iPhone 15 Pro Max, the big news is this big zoom lens, 5x optical zoom, up from 3x optical zoom. So if you're going to a concert and you have nosebleed seats, you can trick people into thinking you're actually closer to the front of the stage with this new, very expensive iPhone 15 Pro Max.
Nicole, you mentioned it's very expensive. It's nearly $1,200. Who does Apple expect is going to shell out for that?
Yep, so the iPhone 15 Pro Max is getting a price bump. It's $100 more expensive than the previous Pro Max model. And that's for a few reasons, one of them being that the base model now starts at 256 gigabytes, up from 128. So this is really the phone for professionals, video creators, people who work in multimedia or just want to take really nice pictures and want a giant phone. And this is not the phone that most people are going to buy, but Apple has long created devices for this pro market, prosumer market, but it's also offering a lucrative trade-in deal, which is up to $1,000 off if you have an iPhone 11 Pro or newer. So that makes this price tag a little bit more palatable.
What about the cost of the other models? How do they compare to previous years?
They've largely stayed the same. So it's really just this high-end iPhone 15 Pro Max that is getting this $100 luxury tax.
One thing that Apple made a big deal about at the beginning of this event was its environmental pledge. We hear environmental carbon neutral pledges from companies a lot, but Apple seemed to really tie this to the Apple Watch. Can you tell us how that's going to fit in with this device?
Apple mentioned several times that its new lineup, the Apple Watch Series 9 and the Apple Watch Ultra 2, are carbon neutral. And this is great. It's fine. I would have loved to have seen more updates on repairability. We did hear about the iPhone 15 Pro, which has a more easily repairable back glass, which means that you're more likely to hold on to that device for longer, which Apple itself says is fantastic for the environment. The Apple Watch did not have an update along these lines, but I guess carbon neutral is a start.
Were there other changes to the Apple Watch that stood out?
One of my favorite new features of the new Apple Watch is that it has the second generation ultra wideband chip, which basically means it's more precise at finding your iPhone. There's also a new chip that enables on-device Siri processing. And that's a fancy way of saying Siri is not smarter, but she is faster at performing the tasks that you ask.
So was that Apple's nod to artificial intelligence and a leap forward with AI for them?
Zoe, like I said, Siri will not be any smarter, unfortunately. She'll just be faster to respond. You know, Apple has been behind its competitors in the AI space, and it's just leaning into making Siri more useful, but we haven't heard anything from the company about more complicated ChatGPT style queries that Siri can handle.
All right, that was our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, speaking with TNB host Zoe Thomas. And finally, while Apple may have just unveiled what its newest phones look like, some companies already had the inside scoop. Think smartphone case makers. Apple has a reputation for being tight-lipped about its products. But if Apple is so secretive, how do these case makers seem to be ready with their new designs at the moment the new iPhones are revealed? Our personal tech reporter, Dalvin Brown, explains.
It's a fascinating behind-the-scenes process, actually. Casemakers who don't have official partnerships with Apple rely on a mix of strategies. First, they pay close attention to the supply chain. So a lot of Apple's manufacturing happens in China, where a lot of these phone cases and accessories also happen to be made. And when information leaks or trickles out from factories or component suppliers, casemakers have their ears to the ground. They also monitor tech blogs, forums, social media, where insiders might drop hints or leaks. But when it comes to mitigating risks, it's a bit tricky because casemakers are essentially making educated guesses based on the information they gather. So to hedge their bets, some build in design flexibilities. But the reality is it's never really foolproof.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by me, Julie Chang, with Zoe Thomas and supervising producer Melanie Roy. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.